All right. Can everybody hear me? We're good? Good. All right. What a lively bunch tonight. Got to keep them down, Bob. How you doing, brother? All right. Well, here we are. I'm the substitute teacher. Thanks, Cleo. We've been talking about the fruit of God. And it's an interesting fruit, right? It's not the fruits, it's the fruit. It's all the attributes of a fruit. And I know the kids can always sing us, but my memory doesn't work, so I have to write down. Love, joy. Okay, there we go. You know, the kids can sing right through it, and I can never get them all. So love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, I got to tell you, does anyone else just think that one's out of place? Well, I mean, it makes sense, and we're going to talk about it, and I hope by the end of this it will make sense. But when you're thinking about it, you're going, hey, you know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, wow, gentleness, that sounds wonderful and flowing. It sounds poetic. Then you get to self-control. It's sort of, it's like a lead balloon at the end of the list, right? All right. Well, you know what? This is the approach I'm going with it tonight after I've been doing a study on this. By the way, to Cleo's credit, he gave me about 2.5-3 weeks notice on this being a substitute teacher tonight. So it's not like I'm just in here. So if I do a really bad job, it's my fault, not his. What's interesting about self-control, and I'm going to try and come up with an analogy here I'll discuss later. But it is self-control that helps you to become good with these. It is a method to get good with these things. So I've been trying to figure out how I could explain that. So I'm going to have an analogy. I'm going to get to that in a moment, but I'm not going there yet. I want to go through a few things about self-control. Well, first of all, let's just go on and read from Galatians chapter 5. Even though I just went through and I did everything in a list, let's actually read the Word of God and how it flows. So this is Galatians chapter 5. It is verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, that's interesting, that there is no law. Now, why is there no law against such things? And the context here, I believe, is because why would there be a law? Why would God impose a law through Moses that would be against any of these things? And self-control is at the end. And I wonder sometimes, does God actually list things a certain way to make us think about them? Because he threw self-control in at the end. Not that it was the least, but I think it makes you maybe think, is there something about it that brings all the other attributes together? So, when we go through and we're looking at things, here's an interesting proverb. How can you not go to Proverbs and start talking about self-control? Some great stuff here. All right. Proverbs 16:32 reads, better a patient man than a warrior, a man who controls his temper than one who takes a city. Okay, I have read that one before. I've read it many times. Hadn't really thought too much about it. Always thought that was odd. I sort of went right by it. But I had to study it this time. It makes sense. Now, a man who's in war and he's in a battle and he's doing great things and he takes a city. Yeah, you know, we say, okay, you know, back in the day that was great accomplishment. In Rome, you'd come back and you would have accolades and a parade for you. But here's the thought. The person who is self-controlled and controls their temper, the war wouldn't have started. So that is the point of that verse, is to control yourself, your reaction to the way maybe someone is. And in a second, we're going to discuss 2 Timothy chapter 2, which blends some of this together in a practical sense when it comes to evangelizing with people. We'll talk about that in a moment. Proverbs 19:11, a man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. It complements the first one, right? You understand? Someone offends me. How's the saying go? Take it with a grain of salt. All right. They offended me. How am I going to react? Okay. There depends on the level of offense, right? How am I going to react? Well, one who is self-controlled, and once again, I want you to think about self. All right. This isn't God-controlled. This is self-controlled. God is expecting us to take a little bit of accountability and responsibility for our actions and our words. Self-control. So, if you get out there and you know that you have a sarcastic mouth and a short temper, you need a lot more self-control than someone who is maybe perhaps a quiet person that is sort of thoughtful, listens to people more than the other person, who, by the way, is more like me when I was a little younger. I've gotten a little better, but I used to be, sarcastic and short-tempered. And Jennifer will let you know that patience still is not my greatest attribute, but I'm getting to that part. All right. Proverbs 14:29, a patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays folly. Foolishness. So, there's just some quick... Is that a tiger over there? So, if you look at self-discipline, we're going, okay, self-control, self-discipline, same thing. If you're looking at these things and you're going, okay, so I need to control my temper. There's more to it. That's just the start. You haven't scratched it, really. Self-control is in order to acquire and understand and build up this fruit that has the attributes of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, on down the list. You have to self-control is about, it's like practice. You know, you've heard the term practice makes perfect. Okay. Not for me. All right? Not in this context. But what practice does do for me is it makes me better than I was yesterday. If I practice self-control and I practice, okay, today I'm going to work on being joyful more than I did yesterday, I'm better than I was yesterday. Okay, so if I'm going to try and work on, over time what happens is that with practice, and this is the part I think that really what coaches meant when they said perfect, it becomes second nature. And that is what the self-control part, it helps you to make things become second nature so that when things hit you in life, you react in a way that isn't by the nature of man, but by the nature of God. Okay, so I used to be really sarcastic and I had a short temper. I still sort of have a temper. And sometimes my sarcasm comes out. But I do it with a smile now. No, is it? So anyway, you gotta take things in context. So just controlling your temper, one part. That's one place to start if you have that issue. All right? So let's look at this one. It says the battle for self-control is always a very difficult battle. Like a city, this is Proverbs 25:28. Like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control. All right, so we understand because we've probably have done enough Bible classes and Bible reading to understand that back in the day when Jerusalem city up on this hill and it had its walls, that it was something to behold. I mean, a city with great walls was something. I mean, they didn't call them mayors of the cities. They called them the kings of the cities. Did you ever notice that in the Old Testament? It was the king of Jerusalem. It was the king of Jericho. They were kings because they had a great city with walls around it instead of a village that anybody could just run through and raid it and burn it to the ground, but a city with a wall. But what happens when the wall's compromised? When you lack self-control? Well, in our case, spiritually, Satan gets in. And Satan will get in. So, self-control is a battle. It isn't just a one-time thing. It's like the reading of God's Word. We don't study it once, read it once, and then say, I've got it. If there's anything Preacher Ken has told us over and over again, we read the Word, and then we reread the Word, and then we study it, we restudy it, and then we apply it to our lives, and we reapply it to our lives until finally you have the light bulb moment. Same thing, this is part of that self-control of putting things into action that God, our attributes that God wants you to have as His children. The fruit of self-control is quite contrary to our natural human desires. I agree with that statement. Natural desires are ornery things. I mean, they really do. Us humans can be quite ornery. We can be quite short-sighted. We have great intentions to be long-term doing things, but then all of a sudden we have one moment and we just go short. We forget the long-range goal. We fall short of the target. For all have fallen short. Man. So here's self-control. Each time, maybe you do fall short in an area. Maybe you have a sin or a couple of sins that just always get you. But are you improving from where you were yesterday? Maybe next time instead of falling, you might fall short, but maybe you were a little closer to the target this time. Yes, ma'am. Learn self-control the hard way in that case. So, self-control, it comes with practice and maturity is what her point was. And we have to agree with that, right? I mean, how many of us when we were young children that we can remember that learned that by being told that something was hot, understood what it meant that something was hot? Or did you have to learn the hard way and touch it eventually, and then you really understood what hot means? We used to have a wood-burned stove, and it was nice to sit out on this nice rock stone, hearth, and my dad had put this thing together. Sometimes my dad would get that so warm that if you turn the lights off in the living room, you could see the sides glowing orange. You could feel that heat radiating off, but when you saw that orange, when it was black and everything, you think, okay, it's hot. But when you saw that orange, boy, if there was anything that made you say, I don't even want to be near that thing because the thought of touching it. Yes, they are. Yes. So to John's point, as we look around and we look at the youth, not necessarily in our church, but just anywhere we go, we look at young people and we think, wow, man, look how foolish that is. But look at the way we are when God looks at us. And he goes, boy, I sure love y'all, but boy, that was a silly thing you just did. You know, Nathan, I was thinking about something the other day, two things in studies you've done. One was about the lawnmower, where Logan was following you around with his little toy lawnmower. Wasn't doing a lick of good. He was about, what did you say, two, three, four, somewhere in that area? Wasn't doing a lick of good, but you were proud of him. But when he got about 13 or 14 and he had his toy lawnmower out there, was there a point where you go, you know what, son, I think we need to try a real lawnmower to get something done? There is a level of maturity. The other thing I was thinking about was, and I just slipped out of my head, but it'll be back. Hold on. I got it written down or something. But that was the lawnmower thing popped up, and that just cracked me up when I started thinking about that again. Just popped up, and I thought, there you go, right there. If I ran around the yard today trying to mow my grass with a toy lawnmower, what do you think my neighbors would be thinking? And let alone my poor wife and my family, but, and then I tell you what the Woodlands would be thinking. They would have someone mow my grass for me with a real mower and send me the bill. So there's a point at which we have to understand. We need to mature. God expects more of us than we expect of ourselves. And I really do believe that we have to stop and think. It's not about reaching perfection. It's about being better than we were yesterday. Are we even trying? Are we even trying? Now, this is the reason I'm asking this, because this is the way I've been thinking to myself. Are you even trying, watchers? What are you doing today? All right. I'm going to do, get to my notes here on the back page, excuse me. So, I've come to this point where I'm going to try and use this analogy, how self-control relates to the other attributes of the fruit of the Spirit. Now, for each of the attributes except self-control, we have a pell. Each pell has a different level of water in it. All right? So maybe you're just an old sourpuss, so your joy pell is empty. But maybe sometimes you get, there are other things you're good at that you do remain faithful to. So maybe your faithfulness is up to a third full of water. So you got all these pails out there, and each one have different levels of water, but not all of them are full. But when you stop maturing, when you stop trying to be better than you were yesterday, and you stop practicing and using self-control, you use the same water, and maybe you shift it between pails. Do you ever find yourself doing that? All right, that's what I mean. You know what? I think I'm going to be more joyful today. But for me to be more joyful, because my pail of joy is a little, well, it's empty, I want to be a little more joyful today. So I'm going to borrow from the gentleness. I'm going to take it. Well, gentleness is about half full. I'm going to pour some of this water in my, okay, now I'm feeling a little more joyful, but I'm feeling a lot less gentle. Oh, well, I'll put it down over here. So now, but I'm using the same amount of water. Do you understand? I'm shifting the water around, but I'm never improving. Here's where self-control comes in. Self-control comes in when I actually say, hey, you know what? Let me get better than I was yesterday by getting some more water so I can bring up the levels in every pail instead of trying to shift one level to another pail, and it ends up being the same amount of water every time. So I'm always falling short somewhere. And I'm never good enough over here. And after a while, I just get aggravated. And what that's called is the definition of insanity. That's what we call it at work. It's when you do the same thing over and over and over and over again, but and you expect different results, but you're doing the same thing over and over again. Why isn't this getting any better? Because you keep doing the same thing over and over again, and you're not trying to improve. You're not finding a change in the process. So, self-control. I have all my pills, and when I was younger, we used to go out to, we had a place called the Shedette. It was up in Tennessee. That was what the nickname of the shack, it was a wood shack that my dad and my uncle built. And that's what my aunt and my mom, her sister, that's what they called the place. They nicknamed it the Shedette. And so we would go out there, rarely with my mom and my aunt. But it would go out there, and us guys, we'd squirrel hunt, and we'd hike around, and we'd have all kinds of fun. And except for when it came to getting water, it was one of the things that wasn't always fun. Because when it's 27 degrees outside in the morning, and your dad looks at you and goes, I want some coffee, and you didn't go get the water last night, so now I have to hike up the ridge, across the top field, drop down to the next hollow to where the spring was. So I figured it was about a quarter mile walk as you went over the ridge and down the other side, one direction. Carrying, we used to have we had a big bucket, and then we had a couple of glass one-gallon jugs. My dad would always say, be careful not to break the jugs. Like, break the jugs? It's going to break my back. So we'd haul over there. We'd get to hauling. So here's where self-control comes in. Self-control, the point is that you have to stop trading the water from one pail to the next pail to the next pail, hoping that one day you're going to be filled with all these attributes of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, but you're not adding any water to it. The self-control is, I now am going to hike over the ridge, and I'm going to go get some more water. And I'm going to bring it back, and I'm going to start filling it up. I'm going to change the process and quit just doing the same old thing over and over again because I want to be better than I was yesterday. And it might be one drop at a time, but it's better than it was yesterday. Does that make sense when you take those attributes? So, self-control is what allows us to increase our effectiveness of each attribute. That's the point that I think I'm picking up on as I was going through and looking at things. Self-control is at the end of the list, and it seems like the odd duck in the list. But it is the self-control that helps us to attain these things. All right. So what is the point of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives? Well, ultimately, it's glorifying God through His Son in our relationships with people. So each of these things have a way of building up a relationship with other people. With that said, self-control means allowing God to master you to the point of not allowing disappointments or even tragedies to detour you from your ultimate goals and dreams. All right. That's the author's point. But I like the point about it. When you get to a thing in life and you get to that point where things are not going right, in your mind, the job has taken a turn for the worse. Your relationship with somebody has taken a turn for the worse. All of a sudden, the health of a loved one has taken a turn for the worse, or maybe your own health. When it feels like all around you there is pressure building down on you, and all of a sudden you don't want to fill up with any of these things. But if you keep practicing them and trying to get better than you were yesterday, it becomes second nature to be kind and to be gentle and to be faithful and to be loving and patient. It becomes second nature. That is a goal. I think that is a goal that we should set for ourselves when you look at these attributes of the fruit of the Spirit. Keep practicing them until they become second nature, no matter how much pressure. Now, I want to go to 2 Timothy. Yes, you're in the dark back there, brother. I can just now see you. Okay, thank you. Okay. All right. So I'm going to try and I'm going to try and summarize it for everybody. So hopefully that'll make sense. All right. So what Glenn is saying is that as he faces, as he put it, the challenges, you know, like a challenge that's like on steroids, the big ugly that happens in your life. It's one of those where he takes it day by day, piece by piece. And he slows down enough that he can see a little accomplishment and realize, okay, we're going to make this. Does that sound about right? We're going to do this. We can do this. All right. Here's the next challenge. We can do this. We're going to keep doing this. And so that's what these attributes are about. I think it's how you respond to them and how – I think it's how people respond to you in those challenges. When I was a medic in the Army a long time ago, they came up with all kinds of nicknames for everybody in my platoon. I was called Cool Breeze Cotton Top. Cotton Top is for obvious reasons because that's the way it was. But the Cool Breeze was sort of an odd name. So I asked, I said, how did we come up with Cool Breeze in front of all that? And I never knew this about myself, but they said that when I was going through all the medical stuff, I worked on an ambulance part-time, I did things. But whenever something happened in a training exercise or anything like that, They said it was like I all of a sudden I just went quiet, and I would just start doing things, and the things I'd start doing were the things I guess I'd been trained to be second nature. They said I would just jump in there and I would just sit there and say, okay, let me check out. I need you to calm down. I need you to calm down. Let me take a look at things, and I would be I could have people triaged pretty quick, and then I could start telling other people what needs to happen. And then I was just, and then when they said it was said and done, they said I was just real calm. Not a lot of people can do that. I don't know if I could do that anymore because let me tell you what, that was some of the most stressful time in my life is taking care of someone else's health. So my hat's off to you nurses and doctors and things. Woo! But Cool Breeze, I don't know where it came from, but that's what it was from. So there's a calming down during an intense moment. People react to that. And I think God wants us to be the kind of people that in an intense moment, whether it be physical or spiritual, emotional, whatever it is, we're going to be the kind of person that second nature can help somebody else through it by remaining calm and being gentle and kind and patient and loving and providing a direction. Now, I heard somebody. Oh, Miss Gina. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Yes. So self-control, I'm going to try and summarize it for you. So self-control for you is like an anchor. It's a point. It's a foundation. It's at the end because it's the last thing you remember. And it helps you. It is, and what I'm trying to say, it is a method, a practice to put things, to do things to try to be better than you were yesterday. Now, I'm going to wrap this up here, y'all. I wanted to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And in verses 24 and 25 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition. So do you see a flow of the fruit of the Spirit there? When you're trying to talk with someone who is in opposition and believing in God or in Christ or in the Word of God at all, that is, it's a nice little flow there, because I think it's really neat, because you have that be kind to all. But one of the things I've never mastered that I need to fill up my water, that one pill, is being that patient. But being patient when wronged, I get worked up when I get wronged. If I feel like it's an injustice, I get worked up. Blood pressure shoots up. I can get fired up. But that's one place that I have learned to try and calm down. And I go to, and my dad, and I told y'all this before, my dad knew that I had a bit of a temper because he says it was inherited, honestly. So he taught me James chapter 1, and he said, there's a reason why you're quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. He said, God gave you one mouth, two ears. That must mean that hearing is more important. And if you stop and you listen to somebody else, it's amazing how they calm down. You calm down. Slow. You know, I get quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. There's actually a flow there with that. So anyways, my dad used to tell me that all the time. And so I've always have to try and remember to transition. It's almost second nature sometimes for it to pop in my head. But the Word of God is filled with these things. And this is actually a pretty interesting study, because there's a lot of verses that cover self-discipline and self-control. But I want to leave you with this. Self-control is in that list because it is the thing that helps you to master the other things. It helps you to improve from where you were yesterday, so that you can say, all right, I didn't do awesome, but at least my pail is one drop fuller in joy. At least I have one more drop more than I did yesterday in gentleness or kindness or patience. But don't stop. Use the self-discipline to put things into practice, so you can all of a sudden, being kind to somebody when they're angry with you is second nature. That is all I have. Any other comments? All right. Forever hold your peace. Y'all have a great week. Thank you very much for listening to me.